I heard an interesting story. It's supposed to be true. It took place in an airport, and the plane was delayed, and so a lot of people were inconvenienced. You know how that goes. And one man was getting rather impatient, and so he went up to the desk there, and he, what's going on with the plane? Why are we waiting so long? I have appointments. And he was a little bit agitated and rude to the poor woman who was having to deal with him. And she was trying to explain, and trying to get things done, and things should be moving soon. Yeah, that's what you said an hour ago. And then he started really getting irate, and everyone heard him. Everybody's attention was there at the desk, and he began to say, do you know who I am? Do you have any idea who I am? And so the woman very calmly got on the PA system and said, attention, ladies and gentlemen, we have a man at the desk who does not know who he is. If anyone knows who this man is, will you please come and claim him? And I think the people clapped. She handled that really well, didn't she? You know who I am. Sometimes we have that attitude, right? That's the poison that the devil has injected into us. We think who we are, and we find out that we're really nothing. You know, we sang a song yesterday, and we say, I will serve thee because I love thee. I was nothing before you found me. Well, I found out that after he found me, I was even more nothing. And he is everything. And that's what Jesus wants to be to us. He wants to be everything to us, but he can't be everything to us if we think who we are. But he wants to help us to forget about ourselves. And say, Lord, I'm nothing apart from you. I can do nothing of any real value apart from you. You're my life. I need you every moment. And God's looking for people that will be nothing so that he can be everything to them. And that's not a lack of understanding. We recognize that we're precious in God's sight, that they were very valuable to him. But that apart from him, in my sinful nature, in my flesh, there's nothing in me that can please God, even my best effort. And we see that in the book of Isaiah. I was reading the camp devotional this morning. This is given to the staff, and I imagine it would be available to guests if they wanted to buy one at the boathouse. I know sometimes they do that. But these are lessons on the Holy Spirit or devotions. And the lesson this morning had to do with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And our attention was called to Isaiah chapter 6. And you can turn there if you'd like to. I think you know the story. It says there, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. There are differences of opinion as to when Isaiah wrote these, what time in his life he was particularly referring to. Was this his call to ministry? It doesn't seem so. It seems that he was involved in serving God. And God had already made him a blessing to the people. But there came a time in his life when he got a greater sight of the Lord. And it had a profound effect upon him. You know, there are greater revelations of God that he wants to bring into your life. And he wants to increase so that we might decrease and he might fill a larger place in us. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his glory, his train filled the temple. And then he talks about the living creatures that surrounded his throne. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried to the other, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. You know, things look different when you're looking down from heaven. We say, where is God? And the angels say, "Where isn't he?" They see him everywhere. They look down at the earth, and they see the whole earth is full of God's glory. And there in heaven, or there around the throne, they're worshiping him day and night. And just taken up with his perfection, his purity, his holiness. The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When Isaiah got a sight, a fresh sight, a clearer sight of how high and holy God is, he began to be more aware of how unholy he is apart from God. And he said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that he used foul language, I'm sure. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what he was saying was, my heart is unclean. There's pride. There's judgments. There's just things in my life that I give expression to, and the people around me, and that just indicate that I'm far from what God is and what God wants me to be. And sometimes I talk to people, and I try to talk to them about their need for the Lord, and they say, "Well, I'm a good person." Or they'll tell me that, "When I get to heaven, I'm sure my good will outweigh my bad." And, or they'll compare themselves to someone else and say, "Well, I never murdered anybody," and so on. And when people talk like that, you realize they have no idea who God is. It just reveals their ignorance. If you can talk like that, if you can think that you can do anything that would be acceptable to God in your own strength, then you have no idea of how holy and pure God is. And as God reveals himself to us, we become more conscious of our absolute need of his salvation. We need his grace, we need his cleansing, we need his working in our lives. And here Isaiah was serving the Lord, but he recognized that God can do a deeper work in him, that God can purify him more perfectly. And so he cried, "Woe is me," and he confessed his need before God. And then the Lord sent the seraphim to take a live coal and touch his lips. And symbolically, that indicated that God was going to cause a deeper cleansing to take place in Isaiah's life. He was going to burn away that dross, that old sinful self, and that he himself would fill that place in his life. I'm sure that Isaiah's ministry took a real turn after this point. And God was able to use him in ways that he had not been able to use him before. That's always the case. If we let God cleanse us and do a deeper work in us, then he opens doors of service that will bring glory to him. And we know Isaiah is one of the greatest prophets that we read about in the Bible. He's most quoted in the New Testament. And he spoke maybe more than any of the others about the coming of the Messiah, and gave us wonderful details concerning the work and ministry and person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Often when we talk to Jewish people, we refer to the book of Isaiah and try to show them Jesus there. Praise God. But that would have never happened had he not had that encounter. And it says it took place the year King Uzziah died. King Uzziah was a good king. And I guess people put a lot of hope in him. Isaiah probably did as well. Oh, thank God for a king like Uzziah. He's being a good example. He's helping the people to serve God as God intended for us to serve him. But toward the end of Uzziah's life, we read that he had that same attitude. "Do you have any idea who I am?" And he spoke to the priests, and he wanted to offer incense in the temple. And they said, "Okay, please, you're not permitted to do so. That's only for the priest to do. Do you have any idea who I am?" And so he took the incense, and he went there into the temple, and immediately he was stricken with leprosy. And when he looked at his skin and saw what had taken place, he dropped everything and ran out. And he died a leper. The rest of his days, he lived in a separate place, and he ended up in that sad state because he thought of who he was, and he didn't think highly enough of the Lord to walk in the fear of God. He didn't have that sight of God that Isaiah got. And so when King Uzziah died, maybe Isaiah thought, "Oh, what's going to happen? Our hope is gone." But God wanted Isaiah to know, your hope was not in your king. The hope of Israel is in the Lord, and the hope of his people. Jesus Christ is our hope of glory. And we have to remember that. And so God used that disappointment in Isaiah's life to get his eyes on the Lord. And when he went to the temple, maybe to pray about these things that had taken place and try to make sense of what had happened, then God came to him and God appeared and God showed him that he's on the throne, he's in control, and that here is where you're to look. And so Isaiah just humbled himself before God, and God did a new work in his life. Praise God. And then when the Lord said, "Who will go for me?" Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." But it was not because I'm able and you're really lucky to have me. It wasn't that attitude at all anymore. But it was, "Lord, I can do nothing apart from you, but if you can use me, if you can do something in my life, I owe it to you. I offer myself to you. I don't want to hold anything back. Take me and make me what you want me to be and use me in any way you desire to use me." You know, that's real humility. You know, sometimes people act humble and I'm not worthy. Oh no, I can't do that. I'm not able. And they become less useful to God with an attitude like that. Real humility forgets about yourself and says, "If God wants to use me, I'm his. He can work in me. He can work through me." And so we just make ourselves available to him, whether he uses us in what people would think was a great way or maybe a more insignificant way in people's eyes. The important thing is that we place ourselves in his hands and we don't resist him at all. "Lord, I belong to you. You've cleansed my heart. I have nothing to offer you but what you do in my life. And so I just give myself to you, Lord. Have your way and be glorified in me." Praise God. That should be all of our attitude. Jesus, help us to get our eyes off of ourselves. Help us, Lord. Deliver us from our self-importance and thinking that we have anything to offer you. The only thing we have to offer you is our sinful selves. But Lord, that's all you ask of us. You ask us to come just as we are and to give ourselves to you without reserve. And Lord, we thank you that there is cleansing for us. We thank you, Lord, that you're not trying to fix up the old man, but you put him to death on the cross, and now you want the new man, Christ Jesus, to rise in our hearts and live the life that we couldn't live, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing a deeper work in each one of us here at camp. You're giving us a greater sight of yourself. Lord, we want you to increase and we want to decrease. We want you to be exalted and we want to bow lower before you, Lord. And we pray in your goodness and your mercy that you'll open our eyes, Lord, and let us see you as you really are. Oh, Jesus, and help us to enter into rest. We don't have to try to be anything anymore except just yours. And you will do for us and be in us all that the Father requires. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the wonderful things that are in store for those that get a greater sight of you. And so we cry out to you today, Lord, come to us and touch our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus more clearly. We want to love him with all our hearts. We want to give ourselves more fully to him. Brother Eddie Waldfogel, he mentioned to me one time that he was listening to the daughter of Martin Luther King, Jr., and she was speaking at her father's funeral, and she referred to the word holy, and she said, you know, God wants us to be holy. Holy. Have our lives yielded. Having our lives yielded. H-O-L-Y. Well, that's an interesting way of looking at the word holy, but that's what we see right here in Isaiah. When he saw the holiness of God and God touched him and cleansed him, then the natural response was, just yield myself to God. Lord, have your way in me. And so let's be holy in that sense as well. That's our theme at camp, holiness unto the Lord. And so what better place to get a sight of his holiness and then to give ourselves more fully to him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's see, how am I doing with time? Almost. Okay. Praise God. Well, let's just look to him and give ourselves to him for this day. Praise God. There's a lot of work to do, I'm sure. The staff has been preparing for the bus to arrive and other campers. Praise God. Oh, it's so good to be here in the presence of God and to get a greater sight of Jesus. That's what I want to leave with. Oh, God. Go home changed. Different than when I first came up. Well, that's what God brought me here for. That's what he brought you here for. And so let's believe him to do it. Oh, let's keep our eyes on him. Those visions are coming. Those revelations are working in our hearts. Oh, let's thank God for it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's sing that song that we like, that chorus, Open My Eyes. I want to see Jesus. Okay.
Open my eyes.
Commit ourselves to you for this day and pray that you'll help us to walk with you. And we pray, Lord, that you will just continue to build in our lives the things that you brought us up to receive. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in every way. And we love you, and we pray that you'll help us to abide in your love. Bless our fellowship one with another. And Lord, let it be rich and sweet. And let Jesus be glorified in all that we do and say. We ask it in your precious name. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for your kind attention.